if I felt like I could stop this by pleading, I'd plead that we not do it today. And again, I said to you, you have a nice way on the floor, and actually, you know, with some pathos, some history, some sense of yearning for a better approach. But tell us what it's like, I mean, for the Republicans in the Senate and the House. I mean, you know you don't have the votes. You're up there, and people don't look desperate. They look, you know, passionate and committed to their cause. But they know that it's a losing cause, though you only really went down. I mean, that budget only got approved by two votes, with some Democrats coming over.
Well, as is often the case on these votes, I think that a certain number of people that either for political reasons or reasons of their own personal discomfort will vote against something knowing that it's going to pass anyways. So there might have been more, if they'd had more votes to give, more Democrats might have come over, because I think a lot of them were uncomfortable with the budget. But, and you know, really, it is the worst budget, much worse than the one we voted on 2 years ago, in terms of the honesty of the budget or the sense of there being some kind of thrust behind the budget. I mean, you really felt like this is just a document to say, let's get us through 2 years. Let's put something up that appears balanced at the moment, knowing that it's not going to work. I just heard you speaking with Kevin Lembo, who I got to say, I like very well, and I never hear him that he doesn't sound like an honest man. He's always, I think, giving you as straight a position as you can politically. And he was talking about his doubts about those projections for revenue increases. He said it rather politely that it's not unprecedented, but it's not in line with what's been happening.
The new norm, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when we say we're the only state that had actual economic contraction, and then we're estimating that 2 years out we're going to be growing at over 6%, I don't see it happening. And I don't think he really sees it happening, and I don't think it's going to happen, which means we're going to come back even next year, I think, with a deficit, with a budget that will be back out of balance.
Okay, now put another way, I think, you know, how I would say it, in terms of the first 2 year budget, it was that the governor said there are really tough decisions that we have to make here to, you know, dig out of $3.5 billion. So as much as it was really painful, we acknowledge that we had to do a whole host of things that we didn't like. But we thought, I think, that that was going to be the precursor to being able to then get this ship of state onto a better mooring, and this is still just another hodgepodge budget. So that, even as tough a medicine as it was, didn't do it.
That's exactly right. That's exactly the problem. And of course, one of the problems is we took a medicine which was bound to depress the economy, which was an enormous tax increase. I don't think that's ever the way to go, and it shouldn't surprise us that it didn't work, that we increased taxes and we had economic contraction. The part of it that really didn't work, of course, was the deal with the state employees. And it's not a matter of blaming everything on the state employees, but there's, I think, the governor, I think the people of the state feel that there has to be an adjustment of the payments, the pensions, the costs of the state government. Instead, we locked ourselves in now until 2022, and based on a certain number of savings, which we simply didn't achieve. And I think the governor has to revisit that question, and that was a large part of our budget problem this time, was the savings that were not achieved last time.
Yeah, that was, let's say, in the short term, that it was $450 or $500 million. Let's mm-hmm. say it was. I mean, that's what went out of the hospitals.
Exactly.
So we lost that. So I think John McKinney made a really good point of that in his closing during the budget debate. So as we look at it right now, we do have current services bumping up against legacy costs. We knew that day was going to come. I warned the audience that that was inevitable. So now what do we do? I mean, because we're locked in not only to legacy costs, as you say, out 2022, but also a lot of what we have built into the budget is a formula and an approach that during difficult times, and these have been really difficult times, more people are eligible for more services at a time when we're taking in less revenue. I mean, it's a very bad elixir. It really is.
That's why, that's always the way it's going to work. The tougher the times, the lower the revenues, the higher the needs. And it's why we can't keep going the way we did. We have a biennial budget that grows almost 9% in actual spending. We can't afford it. We just did another $1.5 billion of bonding for the University of Connecticut, borrowing money. It's great. You say higher education, wonderful. University of Connecticut, wonderful. We want to put more money into it, sure, but not money we don't have. We can't do it. And the bonding section, you know, we've increased what was referred to as the it was called a cap. We didn't stay under it. We had what was supposedly a cap of $1.4 billion. Now they've come back and said, no, no, the cap is $1.8 billion a year of state borrowing. You think about that increase, $1.4 to $1.8 billion, $400 million additional borrowing a year. The debt service is becoming a large part of our ongoing payments, and that's a terrible situation. I mean, we all know that from our personal lives. You don't want to be spending a lot of your income paying off the interest on your credit cards, but that's what we're doing.